No turning back now. If I leave, it'll just be silence. Good morning. Good to be with you on this beautiful spring day. I think the last time I was with you was raining, or March was really rainy. And now we've added that, and now it probably won't rain till September, and we'll be worried about drought and fires and all that stuff. So great. But no, it's a beautiful day. Good to be with you on this Memorial Day weekend. We all know what it's about, as we just saw that wonderful video. And it's just a great reminder what the cost is and what the price that was and still is that has to be paid in order to maintain freedom for you and me on an everyday basis. And the lives, many, you know, that were sacrificed or did sacrifice themselves, you know, not just in death, but also in life, as we just saw with the video, in order to make that happen. The many who still serve today. And it's quite remarkable looking at them and how they're willing to do that. Takes a different type of person to do that, as we all know. So turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 14, as you've already heard. Matthew 14. And it is a passage that probably, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 36. It's a passage that most of us here are familiar with. So I'm not going to say anything new, right? If you grew up in the church, this was a Sunday school staple, right? I remember growing up in the church being young. I don't know how many times I heard this story, right? You know, feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on the water. You know, probably every year, you know, it came up, especially when you were in younger Sunday school. Because you know what? It's an easy story to share with kids. It's got cool miracles happening. You know, it's Jesus focused. And there's some easily applicable lessons that you can share with kids. And even as we get older and become adults, they are still great gospel stories to look at. And the miracles are still cool, okay? And like we, you know, walking on water, like Jay shared, like, oh, like I have a fear of drowning. Like I would think if what was happening there, you know, listen, someone who has a fear of drowning, they're not even thinking about what Peter was doing. They wouldn't even get out of the boat. You know, let's not even mess with the water, right? But it still holds timeless, applicable lessons that we need to be reminded of, no matter how many times we heard it, even if we think we've heard them all, right? Even if we think we've heard it all, maybe we have. And that's what kind of makes it a little bit hard to speak on passages like this, because, like, as a speaker, I know all the, you know, the messages that you've probably heard that I've heard. It's like, is there something new? Is there something fresh to grab from here? And sometimes it's a little dangerous to think that, like, oh, I can go and find this new undiscovered gem from this passage. It's a little risky. Sometimes you could get in trouble. Heresy could be involved. So I hope and pray that's not going to happen today. And, you know, I hope and pray that whatever I do share, whatever the Lord has me share, may be a good reminder and a good fresh way of just hearing these applicable lessons once again from these gospel classics. So let's read real quick, Matthew chapter 14, 13 through 36. We'll read the whole thing just for context. And so here we go. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And he said, then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, or in the fourth watch of the night, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. And after the people of that place recognized him, they sent word to that whole surrounding region. And people brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And before we continue on, let's just look to him in prayer one more time. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this morning that we just get a chance to just look at your word and look at what it has for us and what you want us to know and what you want us to hear and what you want us to apply to our lives. So, Lord, even though this story has been heard and read and spoke on thousands, millions of times, Lord, help us to look at it afresh today. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would just stir up in what you want us to know and what you want us to hear and what you want us to apply. So, Lord, we ask that for both hearer and speaker alike now, and just pray that all that we say, do, and think during this time would be honoring and glorifying to your name. We ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, as we read here in the text in this story, Jesus and his disciples are looking to get away, right? They're looking to get a break. They want to go to this deserted place. They need some rest, some R&R. And they also want to get away because Herod is figured out this guy Jesus is on the scene and he's doing things, right? He even says, you just studied it last time, that, you know, he's like, "Is John the Baptist raised from the dead, the one who I had beheaded and his head put on a platter?" We all know all that story, right? He's like, is this the one raised from the dead? And so Herod wants to, you know, check out what Jesus is all about. And Jesus is like, we need to spend some time. We just need to distance ourselves and rest and get away from all this commotion that's being caused by Herod, because this is not the first time that Herod has caused a commotion after he heard about Jesus, right? We all know that from the birth story. So they withdraw to this desert place, right? Not a desert place, a desert place. A place out in the middle of nowhere, a quiet place, remote, where hopefully nobody will be. And they take a boat to get there, right? Like, it's a whole big plan. It's like they're not even walking. Like, we're going across a big body of water here. So, however, the people find out that they've gone to this desert place. Apparently, it was a well-known desert place. And it says that they meet him on the other side of the shore, on the shore where they're going. They walk there. They run there. I don't know how they got there. They didn't have motor boats that could pass the disciples. They didn't have faster boats at that time. But people got to the other side and were waiting for him. And it's like, it's crazy, right? You're trying to get away, and all of a sudden, poof, there's thousands, not just a handful of people saying, "Hi, welcome," thousands of people. And what are they doing? They want their sick. They want their lame. They want their hurt. They want their, you know, think about it, untouchables to be cured of whatever they have. And they know Jesus is coming, and they want to make sure that happened. And it says Jesus, as he gets out of the boat, is encountered by these people, and it says that he has compassion on them, right? Compassion. And if you read Mark's account in Mark chapter 6, it says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Here Jesus is seeing these people are hurting, these people need help, and he has compassion on them. Yes, he's trying to get away. Yes, he's trying to go to a remote place with his disciples to have some time alone, to have some quiet time together and rest. But here is this crowd. And Jesus, being who he is and knowing what he's about and knowing what he's preached, he's not going to sit there and say, "Hey, guys, check it. I got to go and rest. I'll come back tomorrow in a few weeks. Let me take my sabbatical. Then I'll come and heal all your sick and lamed and infirmed," right? No, Jesus knows what he's about. Jesus knows the message he carries. And Jesus has compassion on these people. These people need help. He is going to help them. They are calling out for help. he is going to help him. And that is a story, that is a plot line, whatever you want to call it, that we see throughout the Gospels. All the people who come to Jesus, whether it be the man being lowered through the roof, causing some, you know, property damage, you know, or it's, you know, even the Cana at Galilee turning the water and into wine, or it's the man with the withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Jesus knows here are the people coming to him for help, people who need help, and he is not going to say, hold on, wait a minute, I'll get to that later when I'm refreshed and recharged. You need help, I'm here. That's the mission, right? I came to seek and to save the lost. Those who are sick have no need of a physician, but I came for the sick. I came those who need help. I'm here for that. And he is not going to tarnish that mission. He's going to stay to that mission and show compassion on these people and help them. The other word we know for that is mercy, right? That goes along with compassion. You would say mercy is compassion in action, or compassion is mercy in action. Let me rephrase that. So Jesus has compassion on it, and it reminds us of what it says in the scripture, right? Psalm 86:15 says this, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love," or faithful love and truth. That compassion, that mercy, overflowing. Jesus is showing who God is in these moments. He is showing that God is a compassionate, merciful, loving God. Once again, if we want to know what God is like, as John tells us, Jesus is it. Right? He is the Son of God. No one has ever seen God in the flesh, but he, Jesus, has made him known to us. Jesus, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And here Jesus is showing people what God is like through their mercy. So he heals their sick, or maybe as Mark's account, you know, tells us, he heals them and he also teaches them, right? Doesn't pass on the opportunity to teach them and feed them spiritually. So he shows this mercy to those who are hurting, to those who are less fortunate and need help. And he doesn't have a distinction, right? There is no screening process. There is no paperwork that needs to be presented. There's no like, oh, wait, that takes precedent over that. No, it's like, first, you know, just come on down, right? Come on down. You need to be healed. I can help you. No distinction of persons. There is mercy for every single person there, whether they need to be healed physically or need to hear the word. There is mercy for all. But as we see, it gets a little late, right? Gets a little late in the day, and it's time to eat. It's time for dinner, and who wants to pass up dinner time, right? And however, the disciples, they're still tired, right? They're like, man, Jesus, we were supposed to get away. We were supposed to have some quiet time, and all these people showed up, and yeah, you healed them. That's great. But now it's time for them to go. So if we could send them away, you know, and let them go get some food, let them stop at the Chick-fil-A on the way home, you know, stop at the fast food place, wherever you like to go, maybe, you know, I don't know, Applebee's, wherever, you know, on the way home, let them get some food on the way home in the surrounding towns, you know, because we really don't got anything for him here. It's useless. This is a deserted place, right? We know that. And Jesus looks at the disciples and says, don't send them away. Feed them. If they're hungry, feed them. Don't make them travel to go away. They'll go get food. Feed them. Now, let's be clear here. This isn't Jesus being a jerk, right? He's not being a jerk here. He's not saying, feed them, you know, do it yourself. He's not being a jerk. Don't be inspired to be a jerk for Jesus after reading that one line where he tells the disciples to feed them. Some people take that. If you look on social media, that happens a lot. Jerks for Jesus, not a thing. Don't do that. Mercy is not a jerk. Jerk and mercy do not go together. So Jesus is not being that, but Jesus is trying to get across to his disciples, trying to tell the disciples that, hey, you just saw the mercy I had. You just saw the compassion I had. If you truly are concerned about their well-being and their hunger, guess what? Mercy is seeing that problem and helping it. We just saw Jesus do it with those who were sick and infirmed. He healed them. And he's saying to disciples, if you are so concerned about their hunger, feed them, because that is mercy. That is compassion. That is what I'm about. And if you are my disciples, guess what? That's what you're about too. So here's an opportunity to show mercy, disciples. You can provide for these people. You see the need, provide for it. Don't pawn it off to something else. Here in the own moment, here in this deserted place, you have a chance to show them mercy, to show compassion by feeding them, right? By being hospitable. That is mercy. Being hospitable, showing hospitality is actually being merciful, right? 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10 says this, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Disciples, a lot of us, most of us, all of us, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. You have the opportunity to show mercy, to be hospitable, to lend the grace of God to somebody else. Do it. Do it. Don't complain about it. Don't hesitate. Here's the opportunity to share Jesus, to share the kingdom, to share the Beatitudes with other people, right? Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain, or they shall receive mercy. Or as Jesus says also in Luke, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. And we got to think about that sometimes. Man, how has the heavenly Father been merciful to me? Oh, I need to be merciful the same way. Yes. And I also like to be shown mercy too, right? So Jesus is making those connections. If you love receiving mercy, you should be merciful as well. And that's a story and that's a theme we see throughout the gospel. So the disciples kind of get it. They're like, okay, but they're like, we don't have any food. We got these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. As we know from John 6, it tells us it came from a little boy who was willing to give his lunch up to feed 5,000. He was willing to give up his spicy chicken sandwich meal from Chick-fil-A to feed these 5,000 people, if I can bring it into modern day vernacular. And Jesus says, Jesus doesn't say that's enough. He goes, bring it here. I can make that work, right? He's like, come on. Don't complain. No. We're going to make it work. And what does it say? Jesus has the people sit down. He takes the bread, takes the fish. He blesses it, prays for it, and starts to break the bread. And what does he do? Hands it to the disciples. And the disciples then hand it to the people. And it just keeps going and going and going until all 5,000 people are fed, are full. It's a good Mediterranean family meal. Everybody's stuffed. Everybody's had their fill of bread and fish. And you know what? At the end, there's 12 baskets full of leftovers. Ironically, coincidentally, probably not totally planned by Jesus, one for each disciple. At least of the 12 that we know of, right? There might have been more, but at least these 12, there's one for each disciple. And it's just like a good Italian family, like Stacy's family. We go over for family dinner. We come home with leftovers. And we come home with leftovers that can probably feed families for weeks, right? The pasta, the sauce, the meatball, oh, the bread, oh, it's a lot, right? Leftovers, good Italian family. Enough food to take home for leftovers for a full week sometimes. But that's not really the point. But we see, once again, the mercy that Jesus is talking about, that Jesus is showing being acted out here too, right? The disciples said, we don't have enough. Lord, we know you're trying to tell us to feed them, but how can we? We don't have enough. But through the mercy and through the grace of God and Jesus, there was enough, right? It was provided. There was enough mercy, as Hebrews 4 tells us, to help in time of need. And that's the thing that we have to remember. When we serve the Lord in ministry, whether it be publicly, privately, very quietly, there may be times that it becomes too hard or it seems like we don't have enough to give or we can't provide in that moment. But God, in his mercy, is able to provide so that we do. We're not doing it on ourselves. Jesus wants to remind them, hey, remember when the wine ran out in Galilee in the wedding, right? I turned the water into wine. There was enough wine to finish the feast, and everyone said it was the best wine. He's not bragging, but it's kind of like a connection. Remember the mercy showed, how every time mercy needed to be extended to someone and whatever the situation was, it was enough. It was well provided. And that's what we need to remember as we serve and we walk with the Lord. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes things come up that we can't handle. But Jesus is saying, I'm here. I can help you. Bring it to me. I will provide enough for you. I'm merciful. I'm compassionate. I want people to know that I am loving. And so therefore, I will help you provide enough. So much so that when it's all said and done, there is enough mercy left to bless those who minister, to bless the ministers. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Think about that. When we serve in the ministry, we cry out to the Lord for help. And I have done it many times leading youth group. being at camp, you're like, this is too much. Lord, help. We need help. Da, da, da. And all of a sudden, the Lord provides, and he does it in a great way. And you're like, ah. Not only is everyone else blessed, but you as the minister, you the one crying out for mercy, you're like, oh, yeah, that's a great reminder. That's a good reminder. And I feel blessed as well. I feel the Lord has supplied and provided in such a way that I can be thankful and I can worship too. And I can be like these 5,000 plus people being full and being stuffed and being felt recognized and helped. And it's an amazing scene, an amazing reminder of the mercy of God, of the mercy that Jesus is trying to show to us, of the compassion that he has towards us and that he wants us as his followers, as his disciples to have towards other people. It's not, and as James says, it's not something like, hey, you see somebody who's hungry, you see somebody who's cold, you see somebody who's sick, don't just say, hey, go be fed, be warm, be clothed, be well, and then leave them. No, that's not it. That's not faith in action. That's faith that's dead. James is like, no, don't do that. That's not what you're supposed to do. If your faith is real, if your faith is moving, if your faith is active and genuine and known throughout the community in this world, do you see the need, provide it. You see the need, help. David, eye problem. I can connect with detached retina. Finally, hopefully getting healed. All this stuff, story later after class. But David, I'm going to let you know right now because I forgot earlier. Now it just clicked in my head. Will's Eye Hospital, Philadelphia. They have a Stacy has the link. neuro-ophthalmology. I went there. They're great. If you're willing to go through the drive, hour and a half into Philly, trust me, traffic's not that bad until you get outside of Philly. But, you know, there it is. Like, have an opportunity to provide. This is a real life. If I sat there and said, oh, I could help David in this way and then share that with him, oy, how am I helping him, right? David, go find a good surgeon. I'll pray for you. No, it's not just that. It's like, here's the opportunity. Well, and if you're also willing to pay the parking fees and the, never mind, but it's a lot. but yes, that's the opportunity. And that's a simple one, right? That's not complicated. I can share that information. And yes, there are some other things. Seeing a homeless person on the side of the road or sitting there asking for food, asking for help. And we know the struggles of like, oh, should I, they may take advantage of me or are they really serious about it? Jesus is like, no distinctions, bro. Like, no distinctions, folks. If you see the need and you're able to help in some way and provide and show mercy, do it. Don't ask questions. Just go ahead. Because that's what I did. Yes, Jesus says, as John tells us, he didn't trust himself to any man because he knew what was in the heart of man. But he still helped them, right? He still showed mercy because he said, this is what the kingdom of God is about. And this is what my ministry is about. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Came to seek and to save the lost. Came for the sick. Came for those who are hurting. I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. Think about that. Showing mercy is what matters. Showing mercy is what matters. And that makes a huge impact, as we see in this story, but also we'll see today if we act it out in the world and in drawing people to Christ and showing them who Christ is through those acts of mercy and compassion. However, they're done. They're all wrapped up. People have fed. It's time for everybody to go. Time for everybody to head home. Got work tomorrow. So as soon as they're all fed, Jesus tells his disciples, listen, I know you're tired. I know you've had a trying day. You know, get in the boat. Go to the other side. Just go ahead in front of me. I'll dismiss the crowds. I'll handle the rest of them. Go ahead. So the disciples get in the boat. They go to the other side. Jesus dismisses the crowds. And then he stays behind to relax himself, to recharge, and to go up to the mountain and pray. And we see Jesus do this time and time again throughout his ministry, which is a good reminder of us. Show mercy to yourself. Yes, we're here showing mercy to others as believers and followers of Christ, but sometimes we need to be reminded to show mercy to ourselves and take those moments that we have that are quiet to recharge and relax and come before the Lord, right? And bring our things and just be in his presence. We need to slow down in this crazy world or we'll burn out. Right? We won't be able to be effective. So we do need those moments. Jesus took those moments to spend time in prayer and to spend time in reflective thought and meditating on the Lord, even though he was God himself. He still took those times to recharge and to rest and to you know, just stay connected with what he was doing through prayer and through those quiet times. So we have to show mercy to ourselves and also fellow believers as well. Jesus saying, hey, disciples, you had enough time to go. Yeah, go. I'll take care of it. When you see some other believers who are going through a hard time or they've been doing a lot, hey, take a break. Take a break. You've done enough. You need to rest too. You know, we can handle it from here. So we can show mercy to fellow believers, to each other in that way as well. So it's a great reminder. But as we see, the disciples cross the lake, right? They're in the middle of the lake somewhere, and their boat starts to get battered by the wind and the waves, and they are nowhere near land. They are stuck in the middle of nowhere, struggling, and it's almost morning, so that means they've been out on this lake for a while. They went from evening to morning to probably 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, thinking about just all that they've done. They haven't had any sleep, right? And they're trying to get this boat, trying to get it under control, and trying to get it land into land through these winds and through the waves, and they're not getting anywhere. And Jesus then decides to go and help them, right? He sees them struggling, and he does this by walking on the water. He doesn't get his own boat. He just says, I'm going to go walk on the water. That's the, quickest way between two points is a straight line, between A and B, straight line, boom. Jesus, like, straight line, beeline, walk across the water to the boat. And he does this, right? And the disciples see this happening. You know, they see him doing this, and they freak out. They think it's a ghost, right? It's a ghost. Oh, my goodness. Because, really, let's be honest, who has walked on water for them, you know, ever before or ever since, right? Not in this way. But be honest, if we were in their shoes, if we were in the same boat, pun intended, you know, we would probably have the same reaction. They were tired. They haven't slept recently. They've probably barely eaten, and they're dealing with these rough conditions. They've gone through a lot, so their brains are probably fried, and the immediate thing, it's a ghost, right? They don't even think it's the Lord. They just brains default, it's a ghost, and they freak out. But Jesus says, hey, no, calm down. It's me. Be encouraged. I'm coming to help you. Calm down. Because that's what Jesus does. And Peter, being Peter and wanting to be sure, Jesus, I know you say it's you, but I want to be sure that it's not a ghost because I'm still freaking out here. And we're honest with ourselves. We're just like Peter sometimes. Lord, I know it's you, but just to be sure, okay. And Peter's like, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out in the water and I'll come out. Jesus says, okay, come on, Peter, come on down. And Peter obviously doesn't have a fear of drowning or a fear of water, says, okay, swings the leg over, gets out of the boat, and starts walking towards Jesus on the water. Now listen, I'm sure you've heard all the messages about you need to take the step out of the boat. Your faith needs to be just like Peter's and be willing to take the step out of the boat. I'm not going to go there. You've heard it enough. You know that. That's between you, the Lord. You got to work. We all got to work on that, let's be honest, you know, taking that step out of the boat. But Peter starts to walk. And all of a sudden, he takes his eyes off of Jesus, sees the winds and the waves, and what happens? Immediately starts to sink. Peter's name was the Rock, and he started to sink like one. Think about how fitting that is, right? Jesus says, you are the Rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. Kepha means the rock. Peter means the rock, and Peter is now sinking like a rock to the bottom of the lake. But he doesn't get there all the way, because Jesus immediately, as Peter cries out, Lord, save me! Jesus reaches out immediately, grabs him, and pulls him up back on top of the water. And then they walk together to the boat. And as they get to the boat, the wind ceases. And everyone's like, whoa, whoa, truly this is the Son of God. Just like when he calmed the winds and the seas, when he just said, peace be still, another moment like that. They're like, oh my God, what have we experienced? This is next level stuff. Yes, we've seen him feed 5,000 people. Yes, we've seen him do all these other miracles, but whew, walking on water and then just getting in the boat and everything ceases, that's next level, right? We'd be amazed and we would fall down and worship just the same. No distinction, no difference there. But notice this. When Peter starts to sink, when Peter starts to go down, Jesus isn't standing there going, Peter, see, this is what happens, man. You know, that's why you're sinking. You took your eyes off of me. Why'd you do that? Everything was going good, Peter, and now look at yourself. You made a mess. No, he doesn't judge him. He doesn't sit there and scold him while he's sinking to the bottom of the lake. He hears the cry for help. Once again, Jesus being who he is, compassionate, merciful, boom, reaches down, pulls him out. And I'm sure if Peter didn't cry for help, he still would have reached out and pulled him out because the Lord would not let that happen. But after he pulls him out and gets him up back on the water with him and says, oh, you of little faith, why'd you doubt? And this is not like, hey, Peter, you had no faith. This is not knocking for having faith. He's saying your faith, if you really read into it, just like the winds and the waves story when he says, peace be still. He says the same thing to all the disciples in the boat. Where was your faith in? Why was your faith in the wrong thing? Why was your faith taken off of me and then put in to the wind, the water, and what you know about wind, water, and waves, right? Why did your faith all of a sudden go from me to something else? Why did you doubt, Peter? Why did you doubt that I could do it? Why did you think that you were doing it on your own, right? We have those moments sometimes. Oh, man, look what the Lord has done for me, or look how great things are going for me. Look what I've been doing for the Lord. And all of a sudden, maybe we start to sink, and we lose that focus, right? We have that focus, the world becomes too much. Things become too hard, and we're like, oh, man, we start looking at all those things around us, and we take our eyes and we take our focus off the author and perfecter of our faith, right? And it seems like we're sinking. It seems like we're being pulled down by all those problems and all those issues because we've taken the trust, we've taken the faith off the Lord, and we've put it in all these other issues. We've taken the focus and put it in all these other issues going on around us. And the Lord's like, no, don't do that. I'm right here. And you know what? Even when we do that, just like Peter, even when we take our focus, take our trust and put it somewhere else, the Lord's still right there, and he's waiting for us to cry out and to extend and show that hand for mercy. He's waiting for us to say, Lord, I've messed up. I know I shouldn't have done that, but I did it, and I'm sorry. And Lord, help me, save me, pull me out of this. And Jesus is like, okay, yes, I'll pull you out, show you mercy, and then we'll have the teachable moment. It won't be the teachable moment while you're drowning. It won't be, you know, I will teach you after that. You will be reminded of, you will be encouraged. You'll be edified. All the words that we can throw out there from the Bible. You will be taught after that. You will know what it truly means not to doubt and put your focus on me. And we see the mercy there, right? The extension of that mercy from Jesus to Peter, even in that moment of doubt, even in that moment of despair, even in that moment of sheer panic, Jesus still is compassionate. Jesus still shows mercy. And so they get back in the boat and they all rejoice and worship. And it's just a great reminder of this story that, once again, as Lamentations 3, 22, 23 tells us, we've heard it many times. Once again, we know this verse probably by heart, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new in every moment. Jesus showed mercy in every moment, and it looked a little different, right? From the healing to the feeding to the walking on water to pulling Peter out, there was mercy. It looked a little different, but there was that new mercy for all those different moments. And see how each person, each moment was affected by that and what it caused the result of. Ultimately, here it causes them to rejoice, to worship, and cry out, you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the sent one, God in the flesh. And it's a reminder to us once again that Jesus is merciful towards us. He's merciful in calling us. He's merciful in encouraging us. He's merciful in providing for us. And he's merciful for helping us when things are hard, tough, chaotic. And as we see in the last few verses there, in verses 34 through 36, when he heals all the sick at Gennesaret after getting right out of the boat once again, his mercy never runs out. And his mercy is enough for everyone. He has enough for everyone. No matter what circumstance, no matter what we're going through, that mercy is still there. That mercy is still tappable, and it never runs out. And he's sitting there just saying, come to me. Come to me. I will show you the mercy that you need. I will provide for you that help in time of need. I am abundant in it. Never run out. So if we take anything from hearing these gospel story classics today, may we remember that we serve, we live for, we worship a merciful Savior. Wonderful, merciful Savior, right? We know that song. Wonderful, merciful Savior. We serve a merciful Savior who calls us, equips us, provides for us, and helps us in his mercy. And then he shows us and wants us to be merciful just as he is. Be merciful. as your heavenly Father is merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for this word, for this classic story in the Gospel of Matthew here. Many of us know it well, and Lord, many of us have heard it time and time again. And Lord, we are just thankful for the truths that we can pull from it and how you can speak to us still through it, even though we think we've heard everything, Lord. But Lord, we see your mercy. We see your compassion coming out in these stories so much, Lord. It's we can't deny it. We can't miss it. We see it in how you treat the sick and the lame. We see it in how you talk to the disciples and even help feed the 5,000. And we see it in how you come on the water to save the disciples, to get in the boat with them, and ultimately to pull Peter up when he takes that misstep. And Lord, we are just reminded of how great, how merciful, how wonderful you are. And Lord, help us not to forget that. Help us to remember that we serve a merciful Savior, that we have a merciful God who is slow to anger, full of compassion, full of mercy, full of love and truth, and that we can cry out, we can look to him and call upon him all the time, no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard it may be, or no matter how much we are lacking. His mercy never lacks. Help us to remember that. And Lord, ultimately help us too to remember that we who have been shown mercy, we who have seen, felt, tasted, touched the mercy of God in our lives and how we've called out and how he's responded, may we then too be merciful just as you have been merciful to us. May we show people who God is, who Jesus is, by being merciful and having compassion on those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who need help in the same way he has been to us. So help us with this, Lord, we pray. Give us wisdom and understanding in all these things, and help us to show that we serve and be reminded that we serve a merciful God. We ask and pray these things in your name. Amen.